The Psychiatric Nurses Association has taken issue with Minister Kathleen Lynch's rejection of any suggestion that mental health patients were being prematurely discharged or that they were suffering delays in being admitted to acute care. The PNA at their recent annual conference highlighted the apparently high rate of suicide in one area, Carlow, Kilkenny and South Tipperary. And according to the General Secretary Des Kavanagh, the nurses had identified 14 cases in just 18 months. But speaking on this programme last week, the Minister of State, Kathleen Lynch, said that the standard of care in that area was especially good, and she said she could not accept any suggestion that patients were not being properly treated.
I don't accept that people are prematurely discharged. That's a clinical decision, Richard, not one that I have any expertise in, or indeed does Des. And that's a clinical decision as to when people are discharged from the service. Two, everyone that comes either through A&E or to the service themselves is assessed professionally, and it is decided whether to admit or in fact to discharge into the community-based mental health team, of which there is incredible teams in that particular area. So, you know, unless you have very hard and firm evidence of that happening, unless you can produce evidence to that effect, and then clearly that will be investigated, then I'm afraid that, you know, we can't investigate every public utterance.
Minister of State Kathleen Lynch speaking on last week's programme. With me now in studio is Des Kavanagh of the Psychiatric Nurses Association. Des Kavanagh, do you have very hard and firm evidence, as Kathleen Lynch says you should have?
Absolutely. And we also believe the minister has the same evidence. And if I can give you the examples, we know, for example, that 8 consultants from North Dublin wrote to the minister in May of last year, and have written a number of times since then to the HSE. And I think their correspondence the terms of their correspondence has been published in the Sunday Business Post by Susan Mitchell some weeks ago, pointing to the fact that these consultants alerted the authorities to the fact that patients were being discharged precipitously because of the shortage of beds. Now, that's from the consultants. We also know from our own nurses, senior experienced nurses, that the discharges we complain about are only occurring when there's a shortage of beds, when there are no vacancies in the ward, and there are people at A&E requiring admission. And the pressure then comes on to the consultants to try and create space to accommodate acutely ill patients.
Right, well, we have to be careful not to confuse it, to conflate two issues, because there was a clear impression given that in linking those suicide statistics in that particular area, in Carlow, Kilkenny and South Tipperary, that what you were saying was that in that area that patients were either not being admitted when they should have been admitted, or they were being discharged when they should have been kept in for further treatment.
Yes. But
do you have specifics in relation to that particular area, in relation to Carlow, Kilkenny and South Tipperary? Where's your evidence that people are not being properly treated?
We have the evidence of the numbers that there are 14 people we've identified, which far exceeds what would have been a norm in Carlow, Kilkenny, Tipperary, when we had 3 services there over the last 20, 30 or 40 years. This is far in excess of that norm.
But is that then a presumption on your part that because the numbers are very high, that you're presuming that people are not getting the care that they deserve?
No, I don't believe it's a presumption. We have consultant psychiatrists in the southeast who were pointed to the same concerns. We have families of patients who were contacting local radio complaining about the fact that and complaining about their concerns in relation to patient care in that area. But it's also important to point out we were reflecting concerns which were nationwide, not just in that county or those counties. And the reason we chose Carlow, Kilkenny and South Tipperary was we were able to identify 14 named people who had taken their lives in the previous 18 months. We know anecdotally from throughout the country this is a common experience. And in seeking to identify what the causes were, we wrote to the minister, and we've been raising this issue, to try and establish all of the facts.
Now, the minister also alluded to something that didn't quite make sense to us here. I don't know how you understood it or what you understood it to mean, which was that there might be some difficulty in that particular area in terms of reporting numbers, that the numbers might be added together that didn't necessarily mean what some people might take it to mean?
I have no idea. The numbers that we are quoting are actual people we identified in terms of the records that are there.
The minister also said, because obviously there is an accounting or a logging or reporting procedure at HSE level to do with adverse incidents, including deaths. And the minister said every adverse incident in relation to mental health is reported to the Mental Health Commission.
But that's not correct. You see, the Code of Practice for Mental Health Services on notification of deaths and incidents requires that all deaths within the approved centres are reported within 48 hours, and all deaths of persons attending day hospitals or day centres are reported. But if you have patients who are discharged, who are not attending a day hospital or a day centre, who are attending other patients who are in home-based teams or attended by assertive outreach teams or attending outpatient clinics, none of those deaths are reported. So she is wrong in saying that there's a process for reporting and examining those deaths. That is not correct.
So what should be done in order for the numbers to be properly looked at and some action decided upon?
Well, we have called on the Minister and the HSE to put in place a comprehensive reporting system, because we need to know the extent of the problem. We need to know, for example, we know that Vision for Change is based on the Cavan-Monaghan model. And in that model, when we put huge numbers of staff into the community, we were able to reduce the dependence on beds. However, in the other areas around the country, that is not happening. The beds are full. We just don't have enough beds, which means that Vision for Change and the presumptions on which it is based are not working in those areas. Now, that implies either that Vision for Change itself is not successful, or more likely, that its management and implementation is not successful. And that requires review, because the cost of not reviewing it is far too serious for our population.
If it's going as badly wrong in as many areas as you seem to think it is, why aren't more psychiatrists speaking out about this?
I think they probably are internally. It's surprising that the Sunday Business Post was able to come across these letters on behalf of 8 consultants, or written by 8 consultants in North Dublin. I would call for other consultants to come public now and make known their concerns. But clearly these 8 consultants were writing to the minister, were writing to the heads of the HSE, they were raising with local management, and they are explaining their own frustration. And if we look at what they're saying that people who are suicidal and psychotic are left in A&E or in medical beds for up to eight days before admission. This is crazy stuff. I mean, and these are the consultants. So from the minister's point of view, these are the clinicians, her clinicians, who are telling her that there's a problem here. They've told her of that problem 12 months ago. They've told the HSE several times over the last 12 months, and nothing is happening. And I am now saying something has to happen.
Des Kavanagh of the Psychiatric Nurses Association, thank you for coming in this afternoon.
Well, for more on this, we're joined by John Saunders. He's chair of the Mental Health Commission, and John Saunders is on the telephone now. John, can you just shine some light, I suppose, on the record keeping, the ability to compile statistics on suicides, and whether or not it's possible to arrive at the kind of evidence or the burden of proof that the minister is demanding from the Psychiatric Nurses Association, from consultants?
I think there's a number of issues there that Des has raised. First of all, he's correct. We do, the Mental Health Commission is notified of any deaths in services, and the HSE also has a process of accounting for that and investigating it. And so there is a process whereby we identify who has died and when, where, and why the death has occurred. Some of those deaths are suicides, some are deaths due to other reasons, other causes.
Just to be clear, is this people who die in a hospital setting, in a day hospital setting, or would these be people who are known to mental health services?
People who are registered as being patients or clients of a mental health care service would automatically, their deaths would be automatically notified to the inspectorate and the Mental Health Commission and the HSE internally as well. But I think the issue that I would have to respond to is the assumption that because a number of people have died in a particular location, that there's an immediate relationship between that and what Des is saying about early discharge. I think that's an oversimplification and a generalisation that I cannot concur with. Suicide, whenever, wherever it happens, is a very complex process, and it's very, very difficult to identify one specific issue like that. I can also assure you that in terms of looking at the numbers that the Commission has received notification of, there's no specific trend which suggests that early discharge or late admission is a critical factor in those deaths.
And when you say early discharge, what do you mean by that? Do you mean discharge before it's advisable? Do you mean after a short period of time? What's your definition of early discharge?
Well, I'm only presuming and second-guessing what Des means. I'm presuming Des means discharge before the person is ready for discharge. I obviously wouldn't have the detail of every individual discharge. But the decision to make a discharge, or indeed to make an admission, is a clinical one. It's done after a process of analysis and assessment, and it's done to include a risk assessment around the person's ability to deal with the issues that they have.
Right, but so risk management was one of the things the Mental Health Commission saw as being poor in the mental health services, that risk management and indeed the keeping of records was quite poor in mental health services. So, you know, if people are being discharged early, or can we be sure that an adequate risk assessment is being conducted?
What we said last in the Commission's annual report for last year was that risk management was a very, very useful tool in making the decision around admission, transfer and discharge. And in fact, you know, we can obviously improve our methodology around risk assessment, but the point is that risk assessment is one factor in a whole range of factors that one decides, that makes decisions around discharge.
But early discharge of patients, I mean, it clearly doesn't sound like something that would be helpful to somebody who's in distress, to somebody who's suicidal.
Yeah, well, I think you have to put the context of discharge. When you're talking about discharge, you're talking about discharge from a hospital bed or an acute bed into a community care team. So in many of the cases that we're talking about, people are leaving a hospital or an acute unit, but they're going into the care of a home support team or a rehabilitative team of some description. So when you say discharge, it doesn't mean that the service automatically shuts down and doesn't provide the type of support that the person wants. So discharge is really a physical location from a hospital bed to a community-based service.
Well, what is the provision, the standard of provision of care in the community at large? I mean, it varies considerably, surely, from area to area. So one person being discharged into the community early, there might be services there to cope with. That might not be the case in another part of the country.
It varies dramatically from county to county. And again, we've reported in our reports that the whole process of transfer from beds in hospitals to community care is a long, slow process. Thankfully, we're moving in the right direction. For example, over the last 5 years, there's been over a 70% increase in the number of paramedics, so-called allied staff. These are community mental health nurses, occupational therapists, psychologists, and so on, who are working in community mental health teams. So it's a very slow process, but it is a process that's been ongoing since 2006, and which needs to continue over the next couple of years, so that we have fully staffed community mental health teams that will support people who are discharged from acute care.
But as the mental health services are currently configured, is early release in one part of the country more risky than in other parts of the country?
I think what you're finding is that the community mental health teams will vary in their staffing from area to area, and we pointed out that geographical variation is something that the HSC needs to address. In other words, when they're looking at new staffing posts, that they look at the areas that are most poorly serviced and give priority to those areas.
OK. John Saunders, Chair of the Mental Health Commission, thanks for joining us. We're back after this short break.